Hi everyone and welcome back to the podcast. I hope you're all well and in the festive spirit. Christmas is very close now, so I'm literally surrounded by presents at the moment that I haven't wrapped that I need to get around to doing probably after I've recorded this. But Nightwish always comes first, so little catch up on what I've been up to. I've had quite an exciting week in regards to music. I went to a festival in Birmingham, which is the next big city from my city of Nottingham, and playing at the festival was actually a Finnish band. They were called Lost in Grey. I don't know if anyone's heard of them. They are great. They have a really awesome song, and I'm probably going to get the title wrong, but I think it's called Far Beyond and Father or something. If look for something that looks a little bit like that. It's so cool, and actually maybe a little bit Nightwish styly in the operatic vocals in the chorus, so they were really great. And also on the bill was Forever Still. They are a Danish band, but they've definitely got more of an Evanescence Lacuna Core vibe to them. It's a lot rockier rather than symphonic. But the main band that I went to the event for was the next act, Serenia. They're from Norway. They're quite well known, so I'm sure a lot of you will know who they are. For a time, they were signed to Nuclear Blast, so the same record label as Nightwish. And they've been going for a long, long time. So Morten, who's the songwriter for that band, actually was in Tristania before, who are also one of my favorite bands. So it's always really great to see them live. And with their latest singer, Emma, she's probably my favorite vocalist that they've had. And their last two albums, Dim Days of Dolor and Arcane Astral Aeons, are really, really good and worth listening to. So I recommend them to you guys. And I might as well talk about the last act as well. So Leaves Eyes were the headliner. It's the first time I've seen them since Liv Kristine had left the band. And it does feel in some ways actually like they are a different band. And I don't mean to say that like a petty fan, but just because of the style now of their set. So the first few times I saw them, they were very gothic and again quite symphonic. But the movement that they've done in the recent albums has gone towards folkier and more Viking focused metal. So on their last album, Sign of the Dragonhead, and the previous album, King of Kings. So seeing that the setlist was more focused towards those two albums, it definitely did feel like seeing a different band. But I can't knock them. They were great and really got the crowd going, and lots of very upbeat and songs that make you want to fist the air. I don't know if you'd say fist the air, it sounds a little bit naughty, but without further ado, we're all here for one reason, so I won't hold off any further. Today we're going to be talking about one of the most beloved B-sides in Nightwish's history. This is Escapist. Firstly, a quote from the author Terry Pratchett. Escapism isn't good or bad in itself. What is important is what you are escaping from and where you are escaping to. For me, few people embody the idea of escapism as much as Tuomas Holopainen. From the fantastical lyrics in Elven Path and Wishmaster, through to the entire Imaginarium concept, he makes no secret of his adoration of escaping into an imagined reality. Precursing the album that would follow it, Escapist was a bonus track from the Dark Passion Play era, but heralded in the Escapist concept that was Imaginarium. Even beyond Nightwish's catalogue, it feels like a real testimony from Tuomas and an insight into his way of thinking and existing in quite a harsh reality. So solidifying any suspicion about this song's deeply biographical nature, Tuomas' own website previously was called The Escapist. Interviews with Tuomas reveal that he isn't shy in saying how much of an introvert he is, often being absorbed in his own world. And I've alluded many times to what a dark period this era was for him and the band. He confesses that a lot of his struggles at the time, both in the band and personally, were channeled into songs like The Poet and the Pendulum and The Ferocious Master Passion Greed. But it's here that I feel like we really find Tuomas at his most honest. It's not that he's angry anymore, but maybe just frustrated that life has thrown such challenges at him. It's a real, like, I didn't sign up for this type response to a man just trying to follow his dreams and his musical ambitions. A theme he comes back to time and time again in his writing is wanting to return to the innocence that we possess as children. And in our youth, it's also prominent here in the song's meaning. I mean, if we look into the lyrics, we can see what else we can learn, but that message is throughout the whole song. Who's there knocking at my window? The owl and the dead boy. Interestingly, we open with two signature images from the Nightwish back catalogue. The much referenced dead boy, who took central focus in Dead Boy's poem, and the owl that adorned the covers of many an album and single sleeve from Oceanborn through to Sacrament of Wilderness, and more recently after the release of Escapist on the big Decades Live tour. It feels like this is the creative outlet of Nightwish personified in these characters, and the success of the band tapping at Thomas's subconscious to persevere through his struggles for the sake of the music and for the sake of the band. The night whispers my name, Annette sings after that, underlining that same idea of Nightwish and the band and his musical ambitions, wanting another outlet, another chance, and for Thomas to not give up on his dream. The next section sees Thomas re-emerging into the innocence of his own imagination. Virgin snow beneath my feet, painting the world in white, I tread the way and lose myself into a tale. Claiborne Voyage Without an End is an interesting lyric that sent me on a bit of a wild goose chase. So, since Nightwish often reference books and characters in their work, I went looking for a character with the surname or even forename Claiborne. The capitalization in the lyrics really set me off onto that trail, but I found that it was ultimately quite a fruitless search. I did see that there is a slightly different spelling of Claiborne in a Stephen King novel titled Dolores Claiborne, C-L-A-I-B-O-R-N, but not sure if that is the link, if I'm completely honest. Does anybody out there know of any characters with the name Claiborne? It feels like such a fantasy name that I imagine it is lifted from somewhere. In a more literal sense, I suppose, Claiborne, if you break it down into its two respective words, may also reference the human race, like born from the earth. Oceanborn, ocean soul, one with the waves, Thomas has made no secret of his fascination with returning to the sea. Oh, a return to the sea. Pun unintended, but I will take it. As he drifts back to the world of his imagination, the reference of the big blue comes through once again in Journey Homeward Bound, a sound of a dolphin calling, the ocean representing his home, his final resting place. Another Stephen King reference comes a little bit later with The Dark Towers, one of Thomas's own favourite books. He claimed, "I love it," when Sea of Tranquility quizzed him on the book series. I haven't read the books myself, so my knowledge is very much surface, but if you have, let me know if the links go any deeper. The lyric in question being, "Tearing off the mask of man, the tower, my soul guide." Even a glance at the blurb of the book series gave me pause for thought in how it links to the themes of Escapist and moving towards creativity and invention to escape troubles. Slightly redacted from the Stephen King website, for my fellow uninitiated, the blurb slash summary goes as follows. The Dark Tower series tells the story of the last gunslinger who is travelling southeast across a post-apocalyptic landscape searching for the powerful but elusive magical edifice known as the Dark Tower. Leaving the struggles of a broken world to find something magic, that sounds very much like Thomas. The title of this track itself comes through in the final gorgeous verse when Annette really begins to soar in her vocals, mirroring a pride in the lyrics at the title given to himself. This is who I am, escapist, paradise seeker, someone who doesn't settle too long in misery, but looks for the light and retains a hope for a more brighter future. The chorus opens with a metaphorical couplet unpacked for us. A nightingale in a golden cage, that's me locked inside reality's maze. So it's kind of done my job for me there, so thank you very much, Thomas. Another idea of being trapped in difficulties and the endless ongoing trials of life, whilst having ambitions and desires that are restricted by our own reality. That sounds really meta and deep, but I think it's something that we can all relate to. You know, I think we all want to do so much more than we often feel we are able to. It isn't always as simple as reading a book or listening to a song that removes yourself from some of the hardships that you face in life. And Thomas longs for someone to make my heavy heart light, come undone and bring me back to life. It certainly feels like a journey, a steady healing from the creation of Dark Passion Play that helps him to exorcise his own demons from that time. And he also takes us back to the humble beginnings with the chorus's final lyric. It all starts with a lullaby. It's the youth and innocence again that he longs to revert to. Going back to that nightingale reference then, I scoured the Song Meanings website for some more information on this one, and I found an interesting interpretation from the user Anders AP, who believes it refers to the Hans Christian Andersen story The Nightingale. The fairy tale expresses morals of loyalty and embracing the real instead of the artificial. And it tells a story of an emperor replacing his nightingale with a mechanical bird, but the mechanical bird soon breaks down. I won't ruin the ending for you guys, but the nightingale comes back to him, the real one. So, oh, I think potentially I have actually ruined the ending, so sorry. We finish the track with a sense of freedom in the "Farewell Now, Time to Fly" lyric, giving us hope and courage that the said nightingale did escape its bounds and Thomas returned to the organic things and feelings that inspire him rather than the artificiality of the capitalist business side of music that I imagine was really getting him down, as well, of course, as a whole Tahlia situation, which we've touched on plenty already. The music swells to match the nightingale's emancipation, and it serves to highlight an enormous crescendo, a really feel-good finale for a hopeful song. The argument is that Escapist didn't fit into Dark Passion Play, and that's the only reason for its omission. I genuinely believe it could have been a suitable replacement for Amaranth as the first single, such is the quality of this song. But then we'd be here talking about what an amazing B-side Amaranth is, so I think it'll be as much of a muchness. In terms of simply songs that I enjoy and would like to listen to, I'd put Escapist into the final track list at the cost of most of the tracks on the album, to be honest. For The Heart I Once Had and Whoever Brings the Night initially strike me as songs which I would switch out for this one. I've always found that portion of Dark Passion Play sags a little bit after Sahara's enormity, so an injection of energy with Escapist would certainly be welcomed there on the album, in my opinion. As such, it is omitted from the full-length album then, but it found a place on the Japanese edition of Dark Passion Play, later on the Nuclear Blast Gold and Platinum editions of the album, and as a B-side on the Bye Bye Beautiful CD single. Its instrumental version helped to bolster the tracklist of the Islander single as well, but possibly the most notable inclusion of the track since has been its place on opening up the record label issued digital release, The Sound of Nightwish Reborn, which comprises of the B-sides and rarities from Dark Passion Play era. And as far as bonus tracks go, it's certainly more readily available and more heard than tracks like Sagan from Endless Forms Most Beautiful, Night Quest from Oceanborn, Live to Tell the Tale from Once, etc, etc. As a loyal music tagger, back in the days of Last.fm, a site that I still actually use to record my Scrabbles and listening history, because controversially, despite many of you I'm sure listening to it on that format, I don't use Spotify. I know, I'm so old, I'm literally an old man in a young boy's body. but I am a perpetual pedant when it comes to tagging your music, and it does send a shiver down my spine when a track is not only occasionally, but actually widely, universally mistagged, and this song is the perfect example of that. So as far as I'm aware, all the official releases of the track have called it Escapist. Yet still, so many YouTube uploads and discussions and threads title it The Escapist. Rumour has it, actually, that every time you call it The Escapist, one extra point is deducted from Annette's nursing exam score. So get it right, please, for Annette's sake. I can't even remember when I first heard Escapist, but like many people, I was puzzled as to why it didn't get included on the record, but we've talked about that plenty enough now. I'd somehow acquired a copy of the track on my even older and even laggier old laptop and burned it onto a CD for me to listen to on the CD player, as well as popping it onto my MP3 player that looked like a little bullet and caused me some grief when I tried to get into my first gig. I went to see Within Temptation in a nearby city, and looking back, it did look quite a bit like a retractable knife. So kudos to the security guards for stopping me, and thankfully laughing when they realized what it was and what the kids were using to carry around with them those days. Also somehow managed to fit that, my earphones, a wallet, and my phone into my pockets back in those days. So how you ladies live without pockets, I will never know. It was around this time as well that I met an online friend of mine, Alan. He is a huge Nightwish fan, an absolute legend meme maker. We met in person for the first time when we went to see Epica live with Revamp, Floor's previous band, supporting. And in fact, the only photo I have with Alan is one of us both with Floor, and naturally she's towering above us both, but perhaps I should share that on the Instagram at Podcast Pendulum, you know where it is. Alan is genuinely one of the funniest guys I've met, and he really fell in love with the Annette era albums in particular. I've also seen him make many mentions on social media about Escapist, so I asked him to give me his thoughts on the track, and he said of it in his native Scottish twang, "It's a shame that they couldn't find..." I should do it in his voice, actually, shouldn't I? "It's a shame they couldn't find a place for it on the album, but it does feel like..." I can't do that, Alan, I'm so sorry. We'll start it for a third time. "It's a shame that they couldn't find a place for it on the album, but it does feel like such a standalone track. I understand why. I wish it had led an EP and not just been a bonus track on other releases. Still, it's one of my all-time favourite Nightwish tracks and absolutely should not be overlooked just because of its B-side status." My favourite thing personally about Escapist, and the reason for me that it stands above other songs from this record, is its structure. So I'm a sucker for a song that manages to remain instant and infectious whilst playing with that verse chorus verse formula that we're all so familiar with, and this track does it expertly. So whilst the chorus is still a huge moment, the verses flit from the sparse production that welcomes in Annette's voice, and the pensive second verse, which feels more like a finale piece as it pulsates into the final rendition of the chorus. And it's not just me and Alan and our fellow fans that respect this track, or perhaps because of the reception that the fans have given it. Escapist started to be included on set lists during the Annette era of the band, which is quite unknown for bonus tracks, but it does give us some hope that songs like Sagan could see the light of day eventually. It really does deserve to be dug out of the vaults more often, and I'd love to see Floor sing it. Escapist, that is, not Sagan, but I would love to hear her sing Sagan live too. As I listened to Annette singing in the higher range for the lead up to the last chorus in a video that I think was recorded in Houston, it's on YouTube, that's where I found it. When I listened to Annette singing in that performance, I really don't think any other vocalist, not just Flor Tardio, but any other vocalist, would deliver it in such an enchanting way. This track is one that I intrinsically link with Annette and her voice, similarly to Storytime and Scare Tale. Her voice really does elevate this song and is one of my favourite things about the track. Whichever vocalist takes it on though, I'm adding this one to my Dream Nightwish setlist. That damn music is so cheesy, but I love it. I struggle to find anyone that really dislikes this song, so I'm not entirely surprised to see that The Escapist topped the Reddit poll of bonus tracks. Congratulations. It is very well deserved, and I do wonder if perhaps part of its appeal is the fact that it feels like a hidden treasure. So chances are your casual fan will not know about this track if they only pick up the standard edition, at least outside of Japan. So it is a bit of a prize for anyone digging a little bit deeper into the Nightwish catalogue, and as far as treasures go, this is surely one of the brightest jewels in the band's crown and an unforgettable track that is up there amongst fans, not just in comparison to the other bonus tracks, but in regards to their entire discography. Alan sums it up perfectly in a quote that he gave me about why he loves this track. Lyrics referencing dead boys, owls, and nightingales hark back to older Nightwish, and Annette's vocal performance is absolutely perfect, from the softer verse to the belting in the second half. Escapist is quintessential Nightwish. Every moment from the start to the end perfectly captures the feeling of escapism and fantasy. So there we have it. I would love to hear from you about how much you like this song, or perhaps you're one of the very, very few people who don't. Controversial indeed, but either way, I love hearing from you all, and I encourage you to be open and honest. It's cool to love a band and not worship every single thing that they do. So as much as I joke, if you do dislike The Escapist, oh my gosh, I just called it The Escapist, Annette, I'm so sorry. If you do dislike Escapist, then please do let me know. I love to hear from you guys, and you can contact me in the usual places. The Instagram is @podcastpendulum, or you can email me at thepodcastandthependulum@gmail.com. PSA, not just for this episode, but for all future discussions, I'm always happy to hear your guys' stories, opinions. So if there's any song that we've not spoke about yet, please do get in touch, and I would love to include your story. And the last thing I want to mention is the next couple of episodes. So of course, next week is Christmas. I hope you're all prepared if you do celebrate. I will be celebrating with my family, and so because I don't necessarily want to be uploading an episode on Christmas Day, we will be bringing the next episode forward. So that will come out on Monday, and then likewise, the following Monday, we'll have the next episode, and then back to our normal routine of Wednesdays from the 8th of January. So thank you so much to everyone that has listened. It's really been so amazing to see the numbers go up and up, and so many people from so many different countries listening in, just to hear about Nightwish. It's so nice that there are fans out there that love them as much as I do. And my last thing, I know I keep saying that this is the last thing, is that if there's anyone out there that would love to send me some voice clips or some recordings of them talking about Nightwish and what it means to them, please do send them to the email address that I just read out, because I would love to get some other voices included in this podcast, and you're always welcome to be a part of it with me. So I will let you go and enjoy the weekend, week, whenever you're listening to this, with your family and friends, and I hope that you have a wonderful time this Christmas. But of course, we will speak again on Monday with the next episode. Thank you guys, goodbye. The Podcast and the Pendulum is an independent, fan-run podcast that is not linked in any way with Nightwish, its members, Nuclear Blast, Firebomb Records, or any associated companies.